Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Subaru, introducing the all-new 2012 Subaru Impreza. Animating and sharing first car stories at firstcarstory.com. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And
Angie's List.
With reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories with ratings based only on member feedback.
Angie'sList.com. And
Esurance, an Allstate company offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at Esurance.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence at TRoePrice.com.
You've wasted another perfectly good hour. Gotcha! Hello, welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Cautionary Tales Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, this is a little note sent in by a guy named David Stankus. You know how your mother always told you to wear clean underwear when you went out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, case in point. From the Northwest Florida Daily News comes this story of a Crestview couple who drove their car to Walmart only to have the car break down in the parking lot. The man told his wife to carry on with the shopping, and he'll fix the car in the lot. The wife returned later to see a small group of people near the car.
Mm.
On closer inspection, she saw a pair of male legs protruding from under the chassis. Although the man was in shorts, his lack of underpants accidentally turned his private parts into public parts. Unable to stand the embarrassment, she dutifully stepped forward, quickly put her hand up his shorts, and tucked everything back into place. When she stood up, she looked across the hood and found herself staring at her husband, who was standing idly by. The mechanic, however, had to have 3 stitches in his forehead. That's what you get.
I guess
always wear clean underwear
and look before you leap or whatever. Well, look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeannie. I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama.
Hi, Jeannie.
Like an I Dream Of?
Hey, you got it. That's me. I wish I had the bod to go along with it, but
anyway, what's going on, Jeannie?
Well, I have a 92 Oldsmobile Achieva, and it's got almost 150,000 miles on it. So
cool.
I take it in, you know, for oil change and checkup. I try to take care of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mentioned to the guys, the mechanics, that it seemed the brakes were going down a little closer to the floor than they had been, and I just had the brakes replaced 6 months previously.
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
Yeah.
The mechanic guy said, it's no problem, we'll check it out for you. So then I come back to pick up my car. I said, did you guys check out my brakes? Oh, we forgot. So then this little manager mechanic.
Manager mechanic.
Like the service manager.
Yes.
Yeah, but little.
Steps in. Oh, man.
Diminutive in stature or ability?
Both. Oh, I've been driving legally longer than he's been alive, okay?
Oh, young, too, to boot.
Oh, and he's not touched my car, not looked at my car, and he immediately says to me, do you use your emergency brake every day?
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, I don't live on a hill. I don't work on a hill. Generally, I'm on flat land. I'm in Alabama, not San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it doesn't matter. You should use your emergency brake every day in order to keep your brakes up to factory specs.
And you didn't believe him because he's a little twerp.
Well, of course, and I know the only way to keep them to factory specs is don't use them for two brakes.
Well, that's a surefire way. That's true.
Yeah. So, anyway, I get back to the office, and nobody here at the office
has ever heard of this.
Has ever heard of that until this schmo who's been driving me even longer than I have says, well, of course you're supposed to use your emergency brake every time you stop your car. I said, you're a moron. I'm not listening to you.
You're not making this any easier.
I can't help it. Nothing y'all do is easy, is it?
No, not really.
So, other guys say, you know, you drive backwards and that will help set the brakes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, what I need from you...
We know what you need.
Is corroboration.
Exactly. Yeah. And a major dope slap, and I do not want to be the one to have to take it.
Well, you might. I'd brace myself if I were you.
Do you say your emergency brake every day, whether no matter what?
Well, I will be the first to admit that I don't think I have ever...
I have never used
my emergency brake, certainly not on a daily basis. Although I do use it in my Colt Vista because it's a stick shift car.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mine's an automatic.
But in automatic cars that I've driven... I have hardly ever used the emergency brake except for that once a year when you go for your state inspection and the fellow says, put your handbrake on. You say, what?
Where is it?
Where is it?
But it is true that on many, many cars, applying the handbrake does actuate the adjusting mechanism for the rear brakes.
It actuates them?
It turns the little star wheel.
Just like the other guy who told you that it happens when you back up.
Yeah.
When you back up and step on the brake, the same thing happens. It turns the adjuster.
Okay.
And makes the shoes get closer to the drum and thus keeps the pedal high.
Well, so if I'm backing up every once in a while, aren't I doing okay?
Well, yeah, but I suspect, like most people, you back up and before you step on the brake, you slam it and drive and take off. Tell the truth.
And even if you did do that, all it meant was that you didn't do it enough. But if you don't want to use the emergency brake, you can just go tell that little twerp that you don't want to use the emergency brake. You asked him to check the brakes. They forgot to do it, and they turned around to blame you for it. They could have simply adjusted the brakes, which is what you really asked them to do.
Yes.
But on a lot of cars that have this mechanism, you can adjust the brakes yourself by sitting in your driveway or wherever and just pulling on the handbrake and releasing it, pulling on it, releasing it. And you do that enough times, and it'll adjust the brakes.
Okay.
So you could do that, but I don't know.
So the business about, like, the morons and stuff?
We may not be able to award a dope slap.
I don't know. Every day. I mean, I'm 44. I didn't learn this in driver's ed. They never said use your emergency brake every day.
No, because when you took driver's ed,
didn't have emergency
brake. Watch it.
See you, Jeannie.
See you. Bye, guys.
Good luck. Talk about putting your foot in your mouth. That's what happens when you go flying off the handle without thinking, unencumbered by the thought process, and pretty soon you got your foot firmly implanted.
I mean, like you do about every week. Yeah,
every day.
What do you call them? Sweeping generalizations.
Yes, indeed.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Jonathan from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
I have a question concerning speed bumps, and actually this is an argument that I'm in with my wife, so
yeah.
Maybe...
Go as fast as the car will go, is the answer. Floor it!
This is your position, I know. But go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a little subtler than that.
Yeah.
My car pulls to the left, and when I go over speed bumps, I only go over the speed bump halfway. So the driver's side of the car goes over the speed bump, but the passenger side of the car doesn't, because there's always that little spot in the gutter.
Yeah.
And my wife insists that's the reason my car pulls to the left. And I say, no, that can't have anything to do with it. And I've had my car aligned. I've had the tire inflation checked. And everything checks out with that.
Does it pull to the left even when you're not stepping on the brake?
It pulls to the left all the time.
All the time.
When I'm driving down the road.
If you let go of the wheel, it will...
It will creep across the center line.
And what kind of a car is it?
The 1990 Civic.
Yeah, I mean, I would find it hard to believe that this practice could have anything to do with the car pulling to the left.
All right.
Well, as much as we instinctively want to side with your wife.
Yeah.
We find it hard to support her position here.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can't believe that the guys at the alignment shop can't find out why it's pulling.
Right.
How many times have you had it aligned?
I've had it aligned twice.
Same place?
Yes.
Mm.
Go to a different place?
Never go to the same place twice. Because, I mean, if they screwed it up the first time, how would you... You have nothing to test, you know?
Right.
So I would always take it somewhere else.
Right. Jeez, really? What about loyalty and no, huh?
Nah.
All right. Gee, you guys are tough.
No, loyalty has no place in science. If you're doing research, you can't say, well, I'm going to go back to the same people and ask them because they were nice.
Well, they didn't know it was science until the second time they screwed it up. But, I mean, it's possible that they did the alignment wrong, but it's more likely that they're missing something.
Okay.
But I would just take it to another alignment shop. But I think your wife...
is wrong.
Well, she is wrong, but...
What? You got a problem with that?
Her take on it is, well, it still does it, and you still do the same thing, so...
Oh, that's bogus kind of science.
Well,
the sun comes up every day. Maybe it's related to the sun.
It is.
That's bull. That doesn't prove anything. We got a million possible causes or correlations with things, but it doesn't mean that they're the cause.
Right.
No, your wife is nuts.
Yeah, I mean,
you knew that, didn't you?
I'm a dead man. Thank you.
Hey, you called us, buddy.
No, you should be able to
find
out.
Well, here's her rationale. That constantly going over the speed bumps with the same wheel.
Right.
You are affecting one side of the suspension more than the other.
No, but you could make the argument that it's because you're driving the car. And you weigh more than she does. It's the same thing, right? She could make that argument.
Right.
Would you buy that? No, you'd say, hon... you're nuts. And she'd say, you're history. I'm a dead man. I like that, John.
Hey, by the way, you know what happens to these cars? And it's easy to overlook.
What's that?
The springs break.
But that would be much more catastrophic than...
No, because what they break at the very last twist of the coil.
And they stick together. They hang together.
And you don't even know it.
Maybe one of these times over the speed bump, I broke the spring.
There you go.
Well, maybe I should just start backing across the speed bump.
I think so.
Quickly,
yeah.
And break the other side.
You're a dead man. Don't waste your time.
I'm a dead man. Yeah.
Dead man talking.
Have it aligned at a different place and see what happens.
And have them check the springs. You may have a broken coil spring.
Okay.
Good luck, Jonathan.
I'll check that. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
I'm a dead man.
888.
I like it.
Hey, at least he knows.
And the way it came out so fast. I'm a dead man. And with that feeling of hopelessness.
Resignation,
right. There's nothing like it. I'm a dead man.
He should never have called. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Tina.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Where are you from?
I'm from Portland, Oregon, but I'm now calling from Las Vegas.
Oh, car broke down, huh?
On vacation.
Oh, no, I know what happened. You went to Las Vegas, you lost all your money.
Right, and now I need your help getting it back.
Okay. I play blackjack round the clock.
On his computer. He's very good. What's up, Tina?
Well, I've actually relocated, and I drove my car here.
Oh, you relocated to Las Vegas?
Yes, I did.
Do you love it?
I don't know yet.
How long you been there?
4 days.
Oh, no kidding.
And so something has changed on my car since driving 1,500 miles.
Mm.
It's a 1990 Honda Civic Si.
Okay.
So it's old, but really fast.
Yeah.
And the brakes seem to do this thing, I think, mostly either when the car is warm or it's very warm outside here.
Mm-hmm.
At a red light, the brake pedal seems to... after the car has come to a full stop, the brake pedal
sinks to the
becomes like
down.
A sponge.
And it keeps getting lower and lower.
Lower and lower and lower till I'm on, like, my tippy toes.
You in big trouble, baby.
Uh-oh.
Well, not big trouble, but have you had, or done yourself, check the brake fluid level?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, don't drive it too much.
Okay.
Because it's going to be dangerous here.
Well, yeah, either you have a leak... in which case the brake warning light should come on.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that you're not losing fluid, and because the light hasn't come on, I'd have to assume that your master cylinder is failing.
And wants to be replaced.
Yeah, desperately wants to be replaced. It's crying out, it's, Tina!
Except now you don't have a mechanic.
Right.
So what you're going to do is go to cartalk.com and...
buy a new car?
You'll you will find the mechanics files, mm-hmm. which are the recommendations made by thousands of people who live around the country.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And one of them will... you know, we'll give you a new master cylinder and a Keno card.
Right.
Yeah, and you really should do this like today.
Okay.
So now, the question really is then, what are you doing in Vegas and why did you go there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, you don't sound too enthusiastic.
Well, I'm not really used to the desert. I mean, Portland is my favorite climate and it's wet and green and there's lots of grass.
Oh, so are you in some kind of a witness protection program?
Yeah, this was the only place left to hide me out.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I got a job with Cirque du Soleil.
Oh,
no kidding.
Really? Are you an acrobat?
I'm not. I'm a dancer, but the job is actually in the... They have a main office that runs their 5 shows in Las Vegas, and I'll be working partly in the office and partly backstage. I'll be in the casting department helping find people and running the auditions. And
so you're not going to do any dancing?
Well, I'm allowed to take dance classes with the performers, but not on the stage per se.
Yeah.
Well, unless somebody has an unfortunate accident, you know what I mean.
No,
I'll call you back later. Lend
them
for
your
that.
Car. You'll be dancing the next day.
Sorry, I'll take my car. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, accidents do happen all the time, and you know, and you'll be waiting in the wings, so to speak.
Right, all ready to go.
Well, Tina, get your master cylinder replaced, and good luck with your dancing career. And I'm sure.
Please do it soon.
And I need to do it even though I'm in.
Oh, you need to do it like yesterday.
You need to do it yesterday.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See you, Tina.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, look, I think it's time to answer last week's puzzler, and you probably have less than no idea what the puzzler was, right?
I think it's rather an exaggeration to say I have less than no idea, but I certainly don't have more than no idea.
Well, I thought so. Look, in that case, I'll give you a hint. Last week's puzzle was about something that our employees have never, ever seen.
You mean like us working?
No, the answer I was looking for was a bonus.
A bonus.
It was a baseball puzzler about a player trying to find a clever way to secure his $1,000 bonus.
He was a pitcher.
Here you go, and we'll be back with the story in just a minute.
I used to ride with my granddad in his rusty runabout. But when a Cadillac drove by, you know he'd always point him out. But he never got to ride in one, and it seemed like such a sin. So when I pick one out on a Saturday night, I always think of him. Yeah, it's more than just a job to me. That's what keeps me coming back. It's pure and simple ecstasy. I love stealing Cadillacs. I love stealing Cadillacs.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new line of low glycemic windshield wiper fluid from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Lumber Liquidators, providing hardwood flooring for the home handyman and professionals. Catalogs are available 1-800-HARDWOOD. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square,
whose Corbus Bar and Salon features ingredients handpicked from the hotel's gardens.
At CorbusBar.com.
And Subaru, introducing the all-new 2012 Subaru Impreza. Animating and sharing first car stories at FirstCarStory.com. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
And even though conductors keel over into their orchestra pits whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, investing in the future of Middle Tennessee and all the communities they call home with charitable gifts, supporting education and organizations dedicated to children and the environment. When a loved one suffers from a life-threatening illness, it can be overwhelming and devastating to manage. Alive Hospice has been providing compassionate care to patients and families in a variety of settings since 1975. Supportive staff can come into your home like family, keeping everyone close and where they want to be. With community support, the nonprofit agency provides care to all who need it. Alive Hospice recommends patients discuss hospice care with their doctors.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, it was good.
Now that you remember it, huh?
I do remember it.
This is entitled The Not-So-Lousy Puzzler, and I have no idea who sent this in or how long ago. The only indication I have is that it's on a clay tablet. This is, give you some idea.
Let me see. The age of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's old, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say 81.
I think so. Here it is. Lefty McDougal, star pitcher of the Kenosha Ramblers, had an incentive clause in his contract. And it guaranteed him an extra $1,000 if he won 20 games during the season. So, of course, you know what's going to go on here. Here we are. It's the last game of the year. And Lefty has 19 victories. But he's supposed to start that day. He's supposed to be the starting pitcher. And the opponent was a lousy team called the New York Can't Beat 'em Buy'ems. Anyway, Lefty knew they were playing a weak team and that he'd surely get his bonus. I mean, he's a shoo-in, man.
Yeah.
But as luck would have it, an hour before the game, his manager approaches him and says, "Bad news, you ain't starting." Lefty says, "Why not?" And the manager says, "Well, the cheapskate owner of the team called me into his office and said, if you start this bum, if he throws even one pitch, you're losing your job."
Wow.
Lefty's dejected. He says, "Geez, I was going to buy a new house in the Hamptons with that $1,000. And now I don't know what I'm going to do." The manager says, "Let me think about it. Let me see what I can do." He has great regard for Lefty, and he says to himself, "Geez, how am I going to get this guy to win his 20th game and collect his bonus without him throwing a single pitch?" But it happens. Lefty wins the game without throwing a single pitch, and the question was, how did he do it?
Did he do it?
Well, the fact that his nickname was Lefty should help. Lefties have good pickoff moves. So imagine this. It's the ninth inning, top of the ninth. The game is tied up.
Yeah.
The opponents have a guy on first base, and there are two outs.
Yeah.
Lefty's brought in. He doesn't throw a single pitch. Instead, he picks the guy off of first base.
Whoa!
Took him 60 pitches to first base to do it, but he picks the guy off first base.
Sure.
Inning over. Did he throw a pitch?
No.
Bottom of the ninth, one of his teammates hits a home run. End of game. Lefty wins, gets his bonus, gets his $1,000, and the manager gets fired anyway, right?
Yeah, because cost him $1,000.
Hey, do we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner is Nancy Moore from Milo, Maine, and for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Nancy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get the famous Car Talk baseball shirt worn by bench warmers the world over.
Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have questions for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I'm from Naperville, Illinois.
Naperville? Where's that?
Oh, you know, it's kind of southwest of Chicago.
Got it.
Cool.
Okay, I got one for you.
Yeah.
My husband has, or he bought, a $500 85 Nissan Maxima because he was convinced he could replace the rack and pinion himself because it had no power steering whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset. So
why were you upset?
Well, for one thing, you never buy a $500 car. And,
and the other thing, what are you talking about? You only buy a $500 car.
And the other thing is that he was absolutely convinced he could fix it himself.
Yeah. Well, he can. It's very doable.
Well, exactly. So now, but now it makes me a little nervous because he goes out and he buys a Chilton's handbook, a hammer, and a rack and pinion set from the junkyard.
Excellent! What a man! What a man!
Not exactly.
A hammer! He buys a hammer!
Because he fixed the car with the hammer, and he just did this, like, I was like a nervous wreck. I was pacing around the house while he was doing it.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
So he doesn't have any wrenches or anything like that?
Very few.
Yeah.
My question is, though, when we did have it quoted at the shop, it was around $1,500, $2,000 to get this steering problem fixed. But he did it for, like, $500 in my own garage.
Yeah.
And my question is, how can it be so different in terms of a professional mechanic doing it?
Amy, you should be falling at his feet in adoration, saying, what a guy I married, and instead you're questioning everything. First of all, he bought a used one, which cost him probably one-fifth of what a new one cost, or maybe less even. Secondly, he supplied all the labor at $0 per hour, as opposed to whatever they charge in Naperville, $50 or $60 an hour.
$40, $50, $60 an hour.
It must have taken him 7 or 8 weekends, right?
Well, you know, he worked on it for a whole week after he came home from his job.
Excellent. What a man.
And did you ferry coffees out to him and you know, keep him company?
No, she just didn't. She paced in the living room back and forth. Oh, my God, what is he doing?
So I did bake some cookies.
Cookies?
Peanut butter cookies.
You should have slaughtered the fatted calf.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean,
cookies?
What you don't understand, Amy, is the magic of the markup. And a $2,000 job. I mean, in fact, I'm a little surprised that it cost him as much as $500.
It may not have.
I don't think it did. I think he's just telling you that. And the other $200 he's using for his own personal use that he doesn't want you to know about.
Yeah, he's probably going to go out and buy another car.
He probably is.
This guy is a bona fide American hero.
Absolutely. There is no doubt in anyone's mind that the guy is
Except
a genius.
For Amy.
Yeah, well, you know how what they say, you know? You're a hero every place except in your own house.
I know.
I do admire him because now I'm convinced he can redo our basement if he can get a book with directions.
Sure, and there's a children's book on basements too.
Sure. Yeah, buy him the basement book next time you go to home quarters or whatever.
Anything. Get him the brain surgery book. Who knows where he'll stop?
This guy's abilities may be boundless.
Well, I know his abilities are boundless already, but...
Yeah. Good luck to you. You are married to a wonderful, brilliant guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And don't ever ride in that car.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
No, those rocks have been known to just fall right out.
Oh, yeah. Especially when installed by rank amateurs.
Exactly.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kevin from Meriden, New Hampshire.
Kevin. What's going on in Meriden? I don't even know. Where is Meriden?
Meriden's about 15 miles south of Dartmouth College.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know exactly. I've been there. What's going on, Kevin?
I'm a boarding school teacher at Kimball Union Academy, and my headmaster and I were talking in the driveway, and his little daughter was in his Saab, and she inserted a quarter into the buckle because she was being impatient. Oh. And I told my headmaster to step aside, and I believe my last words were, watch and learn, as I jammed the quarter into the buckle really deep with a set of tweezers.
That's never going to come out of there.
Don't say that, because my question is, how do I extract such an item without A, breaking the buckle, B, paying too much, and C, losing my job? And you're supposed to answer one of them.
Can you see the quarter?
Uh-oh. You can still kind of see it.
Okay, here's your last hope.
Oh,
I mean, aside from tipping the car upside down.
That was an option.
The part of the buckle that the quarter is stuck in.
It's a driver's side thing?
No, it's the passenger side back seat.
Oh, but it's the part that the belt plugs into.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the female end.
That's what I was afraid to say on air, yeah.
No, it's perfectly acceptable.
That's okay.
Here's what I would do.
I know what I would do, yeah. What are you going
to
do?
If you remove the back seat, you can take out that portion of the belt, which is just bolted to the floor. There's a wire connected to it and all that, but that's
that you can cut the wire. You're going to get fired anyway, so don't worry what you do.
Sorry, I'm cutting it.
You may not even have to do this.
You may not. Once you get the thing out.
Once you get the seat out. You're going to have access to the backside of this thing.
No, you're going to take the thing right out of the car.
You can do that,
too. And you can put it over your head, and you can spin the bejesus out of this thing and hope that the quarter flies out.
Okay, because the other option was I was a screwdriver,
yeah.
Which in prying the thing in half, the part in half.
Oh, no, I'm going to give
no,
you...
No, 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 you don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that, because then you'll wreck the thing. I mean, you've already done enough, haven't you?
I'm already doing...
You could have minded your own business and said, oh, jeez, sorry, boss, I got to run.
Curring favor.
See, but once you get that thing out, that little section of the belt...
Yeah.
You can do anything you want now. Now it's going to be easy, because you can push it out instead of trying to pull it out.
No, but you can take it to... The shop. You must have some kind of a shop in the school, right? Where you teach kids how to make...
On campus, yeah, we have a shop.
On campus, yeah, where they teach us how to make shoeshine boxes and all that?
Oh, yeah, the AP shoeshine, we've got it.
I think you should entrust this to the Sloyd teacher. That's what we used to call these guys.
Yeah, we used to, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then blame him if he screws
it up. It's a little project for the kids.
Okay.
See if you can get the quarter out. Whoever can get the quarter out can keep the quarter.
This is good.
Here's another possibility. Meriden, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Do they have a traffic thing on the radio, like the helicopter?
Oh, yeah, we have that, certainly.
Maybe you can strap this thing to one of the helicopter rotor blades.
and fling the quarter.
Okay, so that's plan C.
That's plan C. Plan B is if you can actually see this thing.
Yes,
you can. You can insert a thin device in there with super glue on the end. And the worst case scenario is you super glue the device to the everything, in which case you throw everything out. But I think you might be able to extract the quarter. But I would try taking the thing out and shaking the dickens out of it, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're just going to whack it against your hand, and the quarter's going to come right out.
I think so, too.
That's what I think.
This is the best. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Let us know how you make out.
Call us if you lose your job.
Okay. If I find the quarter, I'll call you, too.
See you, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're hiring, so if you lose your job, give us a ring.
Thank you so much.
We need someone with your unique talents.
what do you teach?
I teach Spanish, and I direct an international program here. We have a lot of international kids.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, muy buena suerte.
Oh, whatever that means, I'm not sure.
You're fired!
Thank you so much.
See you, Kevin.
See
ya.
Bye.
Oh, good.
Whatever that means. He teaches Spanish. Well, he should be teaching Sloyd.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Anna from Portland, Maine.
Anna.
I'm actually calling from a boat in Rockland, so that's why my connection sounds a little bit scratchy. But
you're on a river?
No, I'm up in Rockland in the harbor. I'm on a boat.
Yeah, you fix boats?
Yes. I actually work for a Portland Schooner Company. We have some boats in Portland.
We know everything about boats and cattle trailers.
I'm not calling about boats, though. I'm calling about my truck.
We figured you were a mechanic since you have a boat.
So what's going on, Anna?
I have a 98 Ford Ranger with about 93,000 miles on it. And every time it rains and I drive her, she makes this noise afterwards that's kind of like this high-pitched whirring. But as soon as kind of the world dries out, the noise goes away. So it's only associated with the rain. That's all I can figure out.
When does it make noise? As you step on the gas or as you're driving along or both?
When I step on the gas and when I'm driving along, but it's not when I'm braking, and it's not when she's just sitting there. It's when I'm driving or accelerating.
And it's going...
It's more of like a cooing. It's like a kind of spaceshipy noise.
Do it again.
Oh.
Sounds like my phone ringing. Hello? Who's this?
Yeah, like that.
Can you tell?
So that's when it rains and you step and you're driving along, it's making that noise. And when you come to a stop, the noise goes away?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm making very careful notes here.
Yeah, I noticed
diagram.
That.
Yeah, and how long has it been going on?
Oh, maybe 6 months to a year. It's just, it only happens when it rains. So, I'm afraid to tell my dad.
Why, is it his truck?
No, it's my truck, but I'm afraid he'll tell me that it's something that I'm doing wrong to it.
Does he listen to Car Talk?
He does.
Well, you're done for now.
I know, I'm
How many Annas in Rockland, Maine do you think there are out there?
Not enough.
I mean, the obvious thing is it's something like a belt, you know, or the maybe a bad belt tensioner.
It doesn't sound, first of all, it does not sound like a horrible thing.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, if it were horrible, something would have gotten worse or, in fact, broken by now.
That's what I've been telling myself, but I still feel guilty.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bet that on the next rainy day that you're going to be able to reproduce the condition.
Okay.
Especially if, let's say you've driven it for a while and you've gotten the underside of the vehicle wet and you've gotten water splashed up on the belt and all that. This thing has just one belt that runs everything. So you've gotten the belt nice and wet, and then you pull over, put the thing in park or neutral, and then rev it up, and I bet you you'll be able to hear it, and it'll be even more pronounced because now you won't have any road noise drowning it out.
And what's nice about that is that someone can then open the hood and immediately figure out where it's coming from.
Okay.
Instead of strapping someone to the hood.
Which is what we do.
Which is what they try to do with me. And I
All
won't
right.
stand for it anymore.
So we think it's something that simple, especially since it hasn't gotten dramatically worse and nothing's fallen off.
So you think it's the belt or just the tension?
Well, I think it's as likely to be either one. So I would probably, if you can't figure anything else out, I would have the belt replaced first. But it could easily be the tensioner.
Okay.
And don't forget, any moisture that's there is going to make the belt slip. Here's another question. Mm-hmm. If you continue to drive it on a rainy day, mm-hmm. does the noise go away as the longer you drive it?
And I'm guessing the answer is yes.
Yeah, by the end of the day, I don't know whether it's just that I haven't noticed it, but yeah, it probably does.
It's the
belt. But no,
it's
I turn on the radio and I listen to it when the rain comes. So.
Just replace the belt and we're betting it goes away completely.
Yeah, and what you haven't learned is how to turn up the radio. Don't go looking for trouble.
Don't go looking for trouble.
You've got trouble already. Turn that radio up. The noise will disappear.
Take it to your mechanic. Tell him to replace the belt and call us back.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Ah! You're going to refine the new puzzler. That's it. You're going to go through and make sure all the little details are right. Subjected to that last rigorous test.
No, I'm going to get another donut. We'll be back in a minute.
Everybody has a place they're going to, a working or playing or just stuff to do. And every set of wheels has got a tale to tell. Whatever it is, hey, I wish you well. The radio is playing some driving song, a mighty fine day for just cruising along. Spend some time behind the wheel of your automobile.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the dinosaur DNA we discovered in my brother's gym bag from NPR, NPR member stations, and
WeatherTech,
maker of custom-fit floor mats and floor liners made in the USA.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Tire Rack, offering an online tool for finding tires based on vehicle, needs, budget, and brand at TireRack.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
Sit for Less, proud NPR sponsor since 2003, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair, including Sit for Less True Black, online at SitForLess.com.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members. From Solar Insulation, now offering the new Enerlogic window films that can increase the year-round insulating performance of glass by as much as 92%. Details are at solarinsulation.com or 329-2500. And support comes from the Christian Scholars Conference at Lipscomb University, featuring Miroslav Volf and Abraham Verghese, June 7th through the 9th. Reconciliation at the intersection of scholarship and practice. Details at csc.lipscomb.edu.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss maybe cars, maybe car repair.
Maybe.
And the new Puzzler. Now, I'm just going to recite this one because it was, I like the way it was written.
So it's perfect as it is.
Well.
Almost.
Well, I can't really just recite it. I'll have to mess around with it. This was sent to us from a guy named Bob Powers from Shreveport, La.
Hmm.
And I'll just read it and throw in the obfuscations.
Yeah, the necessary obfuscation.
Necessary.
I was going to say, it's unlikely that a listener could reach the levels of obfuscation that you can add.
Well, it's pretty obvious that Robert J. Powers is well-schooled in the obfuscation department.
Go
Here
on.
It is. A teenage boy smitten with a teenage girl in his high school freshman class made his feelings known. Overjoyed at finding them reciprocated, he took penknife to a young hardwood in the vicinity and carved their initials with a heart 5 feet up the tree's trunk.
Within a heart
5 feet up the tree's trunk.
I see the Puzzler already.
By their senior year, however, the girl's ardor had cooled.
Yeah.
She took her diploma, went away to the big city, and married. The boy, crushed, was inconsolable.
Yeah.
Bidding his family farewell, he took his small savings that he got from selling lemonade, bought a bus ticket, went to the East Coast, and shipped out in a menial job on a broken-down freighter.
Wow.
What a story, huh?
Wow.
Can you see it now?
I can see it, man.
25 years later, captain of his own vessel, owner of a small freighter fleet, and with a major interest in a few oil tankers, he indulged a nostalgic whim and returned for the first time ever to his old hometown.
Wow.
Imagine his joy when he discovered his old sweetheart living there, now a widow. One thing led to another. The flame reignited, and one day they searched for their tree.
Wow.
It was not hard to find. It was near a rock, near a river, and they immediately found it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the Puzzler.
Yeah.
If the tree had added 35% to its height in the first 15 years of his absence, 10% in the following 5 years, and 2.5% in the ensuing 8 years. How far up the trunk did they have to look to find the carving with their initials in it?
Oh! Wow! Man! So the facts are in his freshman year, he draws the heart on the tree.
3 years later, she dumps him.
He goes away for 25 years, comes back, and then they go back to the tree, which has added all these different pieces at 35%, 20%,
so whatever. When he returns, they go looking for the heart, and I'm stating that the tree added 35% to its height in the first 15 years of his absence, 10% in the following 5 years, and 2.5% in each of the remaining 8 years of his absence.
Okay, now these are all percentages of the original height of
course.
The tree. Okay.
So the question very simply is,
What kind of a tree was it?
Why did she dump him in the first place? Didn't she know he was going to become a sea captain?
He wouldn't have.
If she hadn't dumped him. He had something to prove.
He would have married her right after he graduated from high school. He'd have gotten a job at the hardware store. And he'd have been a boring, like the rest of us, husband.
Right.
Instead of having been a swashbuckling sea captain.
Now, so if you think you know where they can find their heart, and you would like to communicate with us in some manner, you can write a letter to us, and you can mail that letter to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. And as always, you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. Now, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Josepha. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Josepha.
Yes.
I love your name.
Thank you. So do I.
Yeah, they were hoping for a boy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long story.
Like, it's a good thing they weren't shooting for Vinny. Vinefa would have been funny. All right, now, we have, I'm ashamed to say this, but we are all subject to this. I mean, we try as we will.
Stereotyping?
We all stereotype. And now I know that my brother is sitting here saying to himself, now in what way is Josepha wacky? Because she lives in Anchorage. So, and you're going to be wacky somehow, and I am trying, and you sound like a perfectly normal person.
Yeah, don't let that fool you.
But in some way, you must be wacko, because why else would you be living in Anchorage, Alaska?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Anchorage, Alaska?
Hell no.
It's beautiful up here.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, so what's wrong with your car?
And it's not crowded.
Yeah. Okay, sure, yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's good, yeah. All
so
right.
Here's the deal.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I have a 1982 Subaru sedan, two-door, a little white GLF.
Yeah.
That is... I mean, you guys, this is not just a car. This is a family member.
See, all of this information you're giving us is filling in the unknowns in the wacko equation. But go ahead.
Yes, yeah. This is true. So maybe I'll answer it when I give you my dissertation here.
Okay.
This car has been in my life for 16 years. She runs wonderfully well. She's like my friend. Her name is Phoebe. And I took her into the shop because I heard this. So every time I turned on the ignition, I heard a flushing sound coming through. It almost sounded like it was coming through the dashboard. And my heater stopped working.
Yeah.
So this sounded like someone was flushing a toilet.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So I took it into the shop, and a couple hours later, they called me and said that she has a hole in her number 4 cylinder.
Oh.
And the only way they could fix it is to put in a new engine, and it will cost thousands more than this car is worth.
Mm. Of course.
So I'm crushed. It's like they gave her the death knell. She's got 6 months to live, and I don't want a new car.
No, she doesn't have six months.
6 minutes.
She's dead already.
So I'm calling you to find a different answer because I don't like the one they gave me.
I mean, what's our definition here of death knell? I mean, it sounded like you said simply because this is going to cost thousands more than the car is worth. I mean, there's some embedded rule you have that you never spend more than the car is worth. Where'd you get that rule?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's the people around me are telling me I should not put that kind of money into this car. Now, her body leaves a little bit to be desired. You know, she was rusting out. I had to duct tape her floorboard.
Duct tape the floorboard.
Yeah.
I would have to say it's time to junk it. Because even under the best of circumstances, it's going to be rusted like crazy. And it's probably structurally unsound. So it would be crazy to put a rebuilt engine into this thing. Now, alternatively, you could find a used engine for a couple of $100, but not in Anchorage.
No, true.
No, but
I've looked at that.
The first thing to determine is whether or not it is structurally sound. Because the rule about not spending more money than the car is worth is complete hogwash.
Yeah.
My brother violates that rule.
Every time I get gas.
Up the dark,
every time I get gas, if I fill up the tank, I'm spending more than the car is worth. So
Okay. We
know that rule doesn't apply because it can last for many, many years beyond that time. But the real question is, do you want to waste money on something that's a death trap? Because rust doesn't hold stuff together. And if the frame is really rusted, then the car, if you hit something, it will just collapse. It'll fold
up. It may just disappear. You may find yourself sitting there.
In the snow.
In the snow and no car.
The car is gone.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. And you're sort of reiterating what my friends and husband have been telling me. I guess I just needed to hear it from you.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Okay.
But you'll have to move on.
Yeah, it's time to move on. Find a new friend.
Okay.
And move to Point Barrow.
No thanks. I'll stay right where I'm at.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later. But I will have to say that as wacko as those Alaskans may be, they're all happy. Or maybe they're just, who knows what they are.
Yeah. Well, she's been on hold for 4 hours waiting to talk to us.
And she waited.
And she waited.
Because there's no one else to talk to.
Nothing to do. No. If you have nothing to do and you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris in Dallas.
Hi, Chris in Dallas.
Chris!
So what's up, man?
Well, I have a very old car.
How old?
Well, it's a 1959 Plymouth Belvedere.
Oh, yes. I remember them well.
I wasn't around in 59.
Well, Yeah, where were you? You were in Virginia.
I was in reform school, so I don't remember the 59.
The 59 Plymouth Belvedere, this is the only car that seats four across. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great to go to the drive-in movies in it.
Oh, because there are no more drive-in movies, but
but they're still off.
If they come back, you'll be ready,
you'll
Chris.
You'll be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what about it?
Well, I've kept it up pretty nicely, and I haven't driven it much in the last 15 years, usually just to club functions and shows and weddings. But I go to weddings, and they don't throw rice anymore. They throw birdseed to keep sparrows from exploding in midair or whatever. And there's always somebody who happens to throw just another handful in the car as you pull away. But my problem is a lot of this got thrown into the fresh air vent in front of the windshield. And whenever I put it up for the long 40-day Texas winter, I don't drive it, I had it covered, I found that my garage leaked through the car cover and spawned this garden of wildflowers.
And so this stuff is growing up through the little vent?
Yes, and it's about as tall as it was as tall as a windshield. I took pictures of it, and I pulled them all out. But the roots are stuck in there, and when I turn the fan on, chunks of roots fly out of the fresh air vent.
Yeah.
There was also, last spring I was dating a lady who had a son who didn't like me very much, and while I had the car parked, he stuffed four bricks of blue cheese in the car at different places, evidently two of them down the fresh air vent.
Oh, this kid needs a wedgie. Who is this kid?
Wow, what a little brat.
Oh, yeah.
If ever a kid needed
He needs an atomic wedgie. You know what an atomic wedgie is? Yeah. One of those with a waistband goes up over your head.
And it smelled bad. It smelled like a hot day at the zoo. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. Short of taking the windshield out.
Boy.
Well, taking the windshield out,
that ain't going to help you.
Well, if I take the windshield out, then I can take out the dashboard. And
don't do that.
No.
You'll be sorry you did that.
Here's what you do.
I know what to do.
Go ahead. Tell me. No, you're the older brother, and you should be allowed to embarrass yourself first. I think you should leave him. I mean, anyone could have a 59 Belvedere, but not anyone could have one with stuff growing out of the collar.
Yeah, that'd be a real showstopper.
It certainly would.
You could be the flower car.
The flower car. Chris and the flower car.
If you really want to get rid of them, I would go to your garden center.
Exactly what I was going to recommend.
And I would buy
the
smallest bottle of Triox.
There you go.
Vegetation killer.
Oh. Yeah. This is deadly stuff.
Well, this has radioactive isotopes.
Wait, does it kill people?
It kills everything.
Are people considered vegetation?
Well, I don't know. You might have to call the man. You might have to talk to the chief chemist, Igor, to see if, in fact,
yeah, Igor had a little problem.
Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would just try to kill the stuff using whatever you would use to kill weeds or other stuff.
Triox is...
That's one of those things.
I mean, most weed killers are pretty selective.
But there is a danger because you're going to be blowing this stuff through the ventilation system.
Triox kill everything.
Kills everything, including passengers and drivers.
Well, most of it is dead, and a lot of it's gone, but I still have this stuff that has settled into the bottom, and it's the smell that I need to get rid of.
No, you're going to have to get into the heater system. You're going to have to somehow get someone to cut it open with a oxyacetylene torch.
Yeah, because that is not going to go away.
Ever.
It does not decompose.
Well, was this imported blue cheese or domestic?
It was blue.
It was blue.
So.
Yeah.
Because the domestic stuff has a half-life of about 95 years. The imported stuff might be there, you know,
forever.
Well into the next millennium.
Yeah, well, it's also a great fertilizer for wildflowers.
I mean, you can see some of the ductwork. Because that's such a big car. There's a lot of room under that dashboard. I can't remember it exactly.
This is also a car with factory air conditioning, and there's a lot of stuff that's in the way. And I've had most of it out, but... I'm also wondering if I put chemicals, is that going to promote any rust? This car has no rust on it.
Yeah, you might have to be careful with chemicals. You're going to have to cut that thing open.
And yeah.
You need to take it to a shop. They'll cut it open with the whizzer. And they'll give you access. And then you can
glue it back on.
Yeah, I mean, if you have access to one end of it, you'll be able to either reach through or put something in there to get to most of it and drag it out through the hole.
Yeah, and this is also a trap for whenever it rains, it leaves and dust and dirt and everything is also a trap. So it probably had pretty good soil for that stuff to grow.
Well, Chris, you've got you'll be spending many a weekend with your head under that dashboard, I can tell.
Yeah. I was afraid of that.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
A little brat put blue
cheese. Oh, yeah, he needs a wedgie. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Amsterdam, deviled ham, candied yam, sautéed spam, blackberry jam, leg of lamb, wham, bam, more please, ma'am, is John Bugsy Lawler.
How is Bugsy?
He's fine now. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmeda. Our sleep clinic operator is Betty Bai. Our physics graduate student is Laura Vernersha. Our French dog walker is Poupon de Grasse. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the $12 burrito vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack. The Tappert Brothers, remember this. Don't drive like my brother.
And remember this.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1214, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we just got a brand new Car Talk t-shirt.
How ugly is it? I got it. No worse than any of the others.
Exactly.
I actually like this one. It has a logo on the front that says I Heart NPR, and then on the back it says Even Car Talk.
Perfect.
You can see the newest shirt and browse the entire Car Talk collection anytime over at the store at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
WeatherTech,
maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from snow, sand, mud, and dirt.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
Esurance,
offering online tools and 24/7 service, insurance for the modern world.
More at Esurance.com. And
Courses, keeping CarTalk.com up and running 24/7.
Mostly by keeping you from touching it.
Courses, technology with confidence on the web at Courses.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the IRS hires an extra auditor just for the Car Talk region whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.